Welcome back to another episode of the Profitable Audience Podcast. Today, we're going to start by talking about a video that I just published where the company that I was talking about emailed me, I would say within 45 minutes of the video publication.
So what I thought was funny about this initially was you messaged me about it as I was shopping on that site.
Ah.
Because one of my kids' Christmas lists was literally only things on that website.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, well, so the website is Temu.
Yes. I wasn't sure if we were allowed to say it or not. So I don't know how much trouble you're in right now.
I'm not in any trouble. I'll forward you the email that they sent, actually. But the title of the video was American Businesses Are Dead. Basically, the title was Temu is Killing U.S. Businesses. Is yours next?
No, I wonder why they emailed you. I'm so surprised.
I mean, how's that for clickbait?
Yeah, that's actually a great clickbaity title that will get you an email immediately.
Yes, but you know, I didn't pull anything from conjecture. I pulled from a Wired news article. I pulled from the LA Times, and Wired had done a really good story on this.
Okay. Well, I was so busy shopping on Temu that I didn't get to watch your video. So, can you give us like a 1-minute summary of why did you come to that conclusion? Why did you give it that title?
It's not a conclusion, but so they have two advantages. So the LA Times reported that some of the cotton used in like the apparel products were from this region of China, because I guess you can tell where they do detention camps. So the conclusion that LA Times came up with was that slave labor was creating the apparel that goes on Temu. Okay. I just regurgitated what the article said. I didn't say whether it was slave labor or not. That's up to you to decide.
So to be clear, we don't actually know that for a fact. That's just what the LA Times is reporting.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just referenced the article. Okay. The other advantage that they have is the reason why they can make things so cheap is because they're shipping directly from China. Mm-hmm. Right. And if you ship anything from China to the US and it's under $800, they actually don't have to pay any customs duties or tariffs or anything.
Interesting.
So by shipping stuff from China, which takes about 7 to 10 days directly from the factory, they can beat any price in the US.
Yeah. So I think I've shopped on Temu one other time, and that was because I did a Google search for a certain type of pinata. It's kind of a random story, but Temu was the only site that had this style that I was trying to get for a party. So I ordered a couple things like party supplies several months ago. Very cheap, arrived actually surprisingly quickly. And then I told my oldest daughter that that's where I found the pinata, and she lost her mind as like, you can't shop from them. You know, it's terrible. You know, she was very against it. And I was like, I don't know anything about it. It literally came up in a Google search. I wasn't familiar with it really at all. And because I do all of my shopping on Amazon. And then my other daughter gave me her Christmas list. Literally everything on it was from Temu. So I was like, well, I mean, what am I going to do? Like not get her anything on her, you know, it was kind of like, well, I guess I'll just shop there. And my daughter had said some similar things. And I was like, I don't know what's true, what's not true. I'll order this, but it's not like going to become my shopping, you know, place of choice. I know some people who shop from Temu all the time now that it's kind of more, people are talking about it more. But I was shopping on it yesterday when you emailed me. And, you know, I was curious about a couple things. Like, obviously, I realize it's coming direct from Asia, you know, China specifically. The prices are crazy low, right? Like, I was looking at some of the prices and I couldn't believe, as someone who has had factories in China making things, right? Like I know what these prices are. It just still seems really, really low to me because they offer you free shipping.
Exactly.
Which it's not free to ship it. You just don't pay the tariffs, right?
So,
or the duties.
According to Wired, Temu is losing $30 per transaction right now. Like, remember when Amazon was the cheapest place to shop?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and they kept it up until Amazon became like a a well-known shopping medium. I think Temu is trying to do the same thing.
Okay.
So they're hemorrhaging tons of money right now.
Okay. Because that's the one thing I couldn't figure out is, you know, knowing what it costs to even ship samples over, you know, because I used to have samples shipped all the time. I was like, this doesn't make any sense that they're offering free shipping. And then expedited shipping, which is like 7 days, I think, was still only $11, which you can't even get expedited shipping in the United States for $11.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there's another loophole where it's actually cheaper sometimes to ship from China to the U.S. than within the U.S.
Okay.
So anyway.
So one more side note. I will say, if you are in e-commerce, you need to go to what Temu and search and just look at all the things that they're doing on the website that entice you to buy. The website is super slick. I was very impressed with, you know, as soon as I checked out, I got like a, it was like a one-click upsell, right? And it was like, add to your order for no more shipping, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, they had, it's a very slick user experience. So regardless of their ethics or anything else, like as far as like understanding like buyer behavior and how you create a website, they're doing some really good things on there as far as convincing people to spend more money.
I wouldn't use the word slick.
Why?
Because it's like really busy and overwhelming, like how many offers they throw at you with. It's like GoDaddy.
It's okay, but I think that's very effective, especially when. So I think people are like, this is such a, it's kind of like those, we talked about this in Friday check-in. It's like when you're going to like some of the discount stores like Ross or TJ Maxx and you're in that line to check out and it's just like you're inundated with like phone chargers and coffee mugs and dish towels. It felt very much like you're just inundated with like buy this, buy that, buy this. But because you're thinking like it's so cheap, it's so cheap. You're immediately like, oh, I should buy this because it's so cheap, right? Like that's the immediate. It's definitely not like the Gucci shopping experience.
Yeah, exactly. I think it works for the crowd. I wouldn't suggest that everyone implement everything that Temu is implementing on their site.
If you are a higher end luxury brand, this is definitely not an effective strategy. But if you are selling, if you're in the trinket business, then I think it's super effective.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot what I was going to say now, but
so you did this video. And
I did this video because I just interviewed a guy named Jerry Kozak who believes that he lost 50% of his business in the last year because of Temu and Shein.
Okay. What does he sell?
He sells t-shirts.
Yeah, I could see that because I mean, Shein sells on Amazon now,
but he's not like a small mom and pop t-shirt place. He does 8 figures.
No, because the Temu had some great t-shirts. Like I had to hold myself back from buying t-shirts there because I was concerned a little bit about the quality.
I've never seen you wear a t-shirt in my life. Oh no, once. You wore once. Deacon's shirt once. Yes. Yeah.
You're right. I don't really wear t-shirts, but the prices were so good. And they had like they had all the Christmas vacation sayings and like for holidays and stuff like that. Yeah. It just like I can see why you would put it. They could put a t-shirt place out of business because they had, I was trying to look for a Christmas t-shirt and they had 7 pages of Christmas t-shirts available for like $4.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So you interviewed this guy. He's on the struggle bus because of Temu.
Oh, I mean, half and half, obviously. Yeah. Like, so the video, if you guys want to watch it, we'll link it below. But it was, I spent maybe a third of the video or even half talking about like what's not working in e-commerce anymore and what you have to do to succeed. Mm-hmm. And selling commodity t-shirts probably isn't going to be a good thing. Like anything that's commodity that you can be priced out of is generally not a good or a long-term business model, I should say.
Yeah, I think it all goes back to the whole what we've been talking about for years, right? Is that you have to build that brand, you have to build the loyalty, you have to build it's like, so for example, I had these slippers. They're like moccasin slippers, and I've had them since 2002. So that's 21 years. I've got them from Land's End, and they're like, they were disgusting at this point, right? Because they've been around 20 some years. I wear them outside. You know, I get them to like take the garbage out, check the mail. And Brian was like, these things are so gross. He's like, I don't even think that's a sole anymore. I think it's just dirt that's congealed at the bottom. So I threw them away yesterday. It was a very sad day. I threw them away because they're so comfortable. They're like the leather with like the sheepskin inside or whatever. And Lands' End doesn't make that exact slipper anymore, shockingly, after 20 years. And I've tried a couple other brands and like they're not as good, right? Like I've ordered a couple and I've returned them. But yeah, like I'm super loyal to that Lands' End slipper. Like if they come out with anything like close to it, I will pay whatever price because first of all, they lasted 20 years. That's pretty impressive for a pair of shoes that I wore pretty frequently. And then, yeah, I mean, I think the brand loyalty goes a long way.
They probably canceled the line because someone reported seeing you wearing them and they're like, oh my God, it's going to tarnish our brand.
Down property values. Stop selling them. But I do think you see people, I think we've talked about this. It's like if you can create a brand where people are willing to put a sticker of your brand on their vehicle or their computer, like the people who have the Apple stickers or like I'm in the South. So it's like Salt Life is a big one, right? It's a big brand. I don't even know what Salt Life actually sells, but like people have those stickers on their car everywhere. People love like Yeti, right? Like Yeti is a great known brand. Like people are very loyal to the Yeti. So yeah, I think that's a big component these days in selling products for sure.
So what's interesting is that in that Wired article, there were Chinese vendors on Temu complaining about Temu. So
explain this.
So what Temu does is like, if you want to be a vendor on Temu, then sometimes they'll tell you, hey, you got to discount this or put it on sale. And if you say yes, you don't have a say as a vendor what the price is going to be.
Oh, so they pick your sale price.
So what's funny is that suppliers are getting squeezed out also.
Yeah.
Because their main value add is they're cheap, right? It's not like the delivery or the packaging or anything about the order is nice. No. And it's just generic stuff that ironically you find on Amazon, right? Because people are just throwing that stuff up on Amazon.
Yes.
At higher prices, unbranded. So
yeah,
in a way, Temu is like a cheaper version of Amazon, unless you're getting something branded.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even notice any. Well, you know, I did see Hello Kitty stuff on Temu, but like,
which is probably fake.
Correct, for sure. But yeah, I noticed that there wasn't anything brand wise on Temu. It was all just
generic. It's just stuff straight from the factory without quality control, without packaging, right? It's like when someone goes to Alibaba on Amazon, they actually do a good job of, you know, perhaps modifying the design, creating great packaging, instruction manuals and whatnot. Temu, you just get the thing thrown in an envelope. Have you received your shipment yet?
No, I literally ordered it yesterday, but I did receive the party stuff and, you know, take this for what it is. It was all like, I mean, this is stuff you would probably buy at the Dollar Tree or Party City. Like it wasn't, you know, it was like tablecloth and, you know, sequin stuff, right? It wasn't anything fancy. It was all like, for what it was the same as you would get at the Dollar Tree or Party City. Probably the exact same product.
Yeah, so what was funny is in the comments for the video, I got a lot of people like, oh my God, they use slave labor. And I'm like, I had to respond, I was like, hey, it's alleged, it's not for sure. But I mean, when something's that cheap and the labor is, I would say that prices are so cheap, there's got to be something up with the labor. Because, you know, we've worked with factories in China and whatnot. And I don't know if I'd be able to get the prices that Temu's getting.
No, and even if you go to, like, I've been to some wholesale clothing shows in Vegas, and you figure, like, that's the wholesale pricing, so let's 3X that. It's still probably more expensive than Temu. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
So they... There's some numbers thrown around, like they've lost like 900 million or something in different countries. I don't know what the US numbers are. So they're really just spending a lot of money to get market share in the hopes that it becomes like a regular shopping destination. And their parent company just announced earnings and they crushed it revenue wise.
Interesting.
Whereas Amazon, An Amazon insider said that the apparel industry, and we're just talking about apparel here.
Right.
Apparel is down 30% year over year on Amazon.
On Amazon. It's funny, too, because Amazon is busting their butts to try to, like, the 7-day try before you buy. I mean, Amazon's trying really hard to get their apparel, you know, I don't know what the right word is. Make it attractive to buyers, right? They're doing all sorts of things to get you to want to buy apparel from Amazon.
Yeah, but the apparel is down there, and I think it's because of Temu. Temu already has 1/3 the amount of traffic that Amazon has in just 1 year, I want to say, a year and a half, or 1 year. They officially kind of made a big splash during the Super Bowl, so maybe it hasn't even been a year. Yeah.
I mean, it's not surprising because I feel like all of my kids and their friends, like that demographic, like 13 to 21, I feel like they all shop on Temu. Because it feels affordable for them, right? Like, that's super cheap.
And we're just at a time right now where I've reiterated this on several episodes now, my doom and gloom where, you know, yes. Record credit card debt, everyone's trying to save right now. So it's like the perfect storm
for
a company like this to succeed. So, and it's also on the other hand, they get kickbacks from the government too, right? They don't have to pay any taxes. Whereas if someone here has to sell apparel, they usually have to import like a large quantity, and they end up having to pay tariffs and customs duties on that shipment, right? So it ends up, if you're selling low-end apparel or generic apparel is the way I put it, then you're probably going to be hurting.
Yeah. So what I really wanted to talk about in all of this, although I think this, it's an interesting study as far as like selling and e-commerce and what's going to happen in the landscape. Cause I feel like probably other people will pop up like Temu, maybe outside of the clothing space, or Temu will expand. I mean, I know they sell other things other than clothing, but you know, I feel like they're probably just going to get bigger like Amazon did, right? You know, initially Amazon just did books and now they do basically anything you could ever want. But what I thought was interesting was, you know, we talk a lot about not making vanilla content, right? Having an opinion, taking a stand about things, and not being controversial for controversy's sake, but actually giving information to people that is important, which I think this video was probably very interesting to people because Temu is definitely like a phenomenon, right? And almost immediately, now, you know, you're in a little bit of a different position. You have a large audience. You have a lot of like streams revenue. You know, this, you're not like living and dying by a YouTube video. However, almost immediately you get an email after you put this video up.
Yes, from Temu. Yes.
Yes. So was it a threatening email? Was it a, are you having a great day? Would you like some samples? Like what are we getting from Temu?
I reread it multiple times and I showed it to Jen. It was nothing. There was no call to action, nothing. It was, thank you for expressing your views on Temu, something like that. And then it said, you know, that article was written in May of 2023, which is really only like, six months ago. And she's like, there's a lot of things that have changed in just 6 months, but she didn't tell me what they were, right? If she said, you know, what you said in this video is no longer accurate because of this and this, you know, but she didn't tell me what. She said a lot of things have changed. Mm-hmm. And then she said that we just announced earnings and Temu is, you know, is killing it. Mm-hmm. And she gave me those numbers. And then she just ended it by saying she didn't address the slave labor. She mentioned like, yeah, we're doing really well because, you know, everyone's trying to save right now, something like that. And that was it.
Mm-hmm.
There was no action. There was no threat. It wasn't even a negative email. It was just weird. And what was even weirder was that it came from a Gmail address.
That's really weird.
Right? She's like, hey, I work for Temu. And then it was I think it took thought to write it because it was in such a way that was non-threatening or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they didn't ask you to change anything in the video, modify.
They did not. They did not.
And did anyone leave a comment? Like, was there any comments on the video from Temu? Because that happens on Yelp a lot, right? If you leave a restaurant review that's not great, the restaurant manager will give the same tired comment on there.
There was a person with broken English that came up and said, you know, Temu's the best, or I don't remember what it was. I'm almost positive that they're paying people to comment on these things.
Yeah.
Because my other Temu video, which has, it's getting close to 1 million views now, tons and tons of people just gushing about Temu.
Yeah.
Which is unusual for someone to gush about a shopping platform. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, other than it's just dirt cheap, there's nothing to gush about, like, as a consumer.
Right. Yeah. Except, especially when you get your order and the way it's packaged.
But, I like those orange envelopes. What are you talking about? The plastic orange containers.
Yeah. So that was that. Just a little fun. I mean, I literally published a video yesterday. But yesterday was, I published it yesterday. And that happened right away. So
the next question I have is, so what if their email had been, we would like you to change or update your video? Like, as a content creator, how much authority do you keep and when do you bend for?
I wouldn't bend. I didn't say anything wrong. Like, you should watch the video. I didn't say anything wrong. I said, I cited my sources.
Yeah.
For everything. But what I didn't do is I didn't link the article in the description. I could have done that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nothing I said was pulled out of my butt.
Yeah. Well, no, but I think a lot of content creators get worried about sometimes being negative or putting up opposing viewpoints because they're concerned. I mean, we've seen people get sued. We've seen people have legal action taken against them. That's not uncommon. So, I just wonder, like, as a content creator, at what point would give you pause if you created content, even if you cited sources? Like, I'm not saying you did anything wrong, and I'm not saying a lot of the people that listen do create things that are incorrect, but, like, when do you need to get worried?
So I'm not that type of content creator.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't even be able to tell you. I guess a better person to ask is
Charles.
CoffeeZilla.
I was thinking about Charles.
Charles doesn't piss off anybody, though.
True.
Well, he's saying controversial things because of what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
But he's not, like, attacking a company.
Correct. Right? Yeah.
And so, first off, I didn't attack the company. Really, the point of the video, of the entire video, was to talk about what you could do about it,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a small business owner. Not necessarily, like, the point was, things might be unfair right now. They have an unfair advantage. Mm-hmm. So you basically have to tap into the advantages that you have. And I haven't actually published the interview with Jerry yet. Mm-hmm. It's probably going to go out in like a week or two. But his business is fine. Because the other half of his business that isn't selling t-shirts on Amazon is he does printing for schools, a whole bunch of things of you know, uniforms, jerseys, and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that side of the business by itself is also 8 figures.
Yeah.
So he's fine. He's just dialing down the t-shirts on Amazon side.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think if you're just selling generic stuff on Amazon, you're in trouble. I don't know if you heard about the new fee hikes. This is something I'm going to be talking about in office hours, but Amazon has drastically increased their fees again,
mm-hmm.
like as of yesterday. Now they're charging for you to receive goods. Now they're charging you if you have not enough inventory, in addition to if you have too much inventory.
Yes, you have to have the exact perfect amount of inventory at all times.
I wish I was joking, but it's true.
Like, no, I know.
If you have less
crazy.
Than 28 days, you get fined per piece a pretty hefty sum. It's like 89 cents a unit or something crazy like that.
Yeah.
And you're also getting penalized if you have, you know, too much inventory.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to play this fine line now. I don't know. I'm just glad that I didn't put all my eggs in Amazon's basket because people are just getting squeezed.
Yeah. Which, yeah. I mean, I think even when I started selling on Amazon, 9 years ago? It felt like that back then, right? If the writing's been on the wall for a really long time, it's just people, it's hard because Amazon's such a cash cow for a lot of people that you sort of wait out the negative because you're still making a lot of money and you still have a decent profit. But at some point, it just shrinks to the point where you've got to really pivot.
You know, it's funny, like mentally, I totally understand, because if you see your business is going down, and you're still making money, you just kind of ride it out, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, that's a mentality. It's like way back during my first stock crash back mm-hmm. in 2001. My stocks were falling, but I was like, oh, I'll just hold on to them because it'll go back up. It's gone back up. Things will get better. But they didn't. So I kind of rode it all the way to the bottom back in the day. And I learned my lesson that time. And I feel like there's a lot of Amazon sellers who are just thinking that things might change. And they've put off working on their own website and their own brand, building a list and that sort of thing. So maybe this new fee increase will be a kick in the pants.
But I think the difference between Amazon and the stock market is that historically, the stock market corrects. It comes back up. Like the everyone that I've ever listened to, and I'm not like a stock market person, but it's like it's a long game. You can't just be yanking stuff here and there all the time because it's always shifting. And if you play the long game, you usually end up on top.
That's correct. Yeah. So maybe that was a bad analogy, but
well, no,
I
but
wasn't
like
playing
with Amazon,
the stock market that
with
way.
With Amazon, everything they've done has been a kick in the pants, kick in the butt to the sellers, right? Like there's no like self, correcting mechanisms with Amazon. It's like every single action is negative. And it's been that way for 10 years, whereas the stock market, if you look at it over 80 years, there's ups, there's downs. If you stay long-term, people make money. Like that is the general rule of the stock market, whereas Amazon, what are you going to wait out? Amazon to all of a sudden get generous? Jeff Bezos to sell his yacht and decide he wants
well,
to put money back in the seller's pockets?
Waiting is maybe the wrong term, but putting all their energies into growing the Amazon side.
Yeah.
You know, like if things are going down, maybe you're like, okay, well, I'll try this strategy and this strategy, get it back up.
Yeah.
Instead of diverting some of that energy towards, you know, your own website and brand.
Yeah. I mean, how long have we been doing Seller Summit? Since 2016? Since
yes.
The very first Seller Summit, we've always had two tracks, one dedicated to Amazon, one dedicated to D2C, because I think we've always known that like while Amazon is a great place to sell and you can make a lot of money, you need to take that investment, that money that you're making, and start building a brand off Amazon, because we know a lot of people who built businesses on Amazon that now don't have those businesses anymore. You know?
Yeah. Are you speaking from experience or?
No, I'm saying like we know people that came to Seller Summit that built up Amazon brand and then they crashed because Amazon made changes. They got knocked off their list. I mean, I was on the Amazon roller coaster, but I was always building the website, the email list. I mean, when that business ended, we had 6,000 or 7,000 emails. Like, you know, it wasn't. We definitely were doing a decent amount on D2C. It didn't compare to Amazon, but at the same time, that was always the focus. Was like, we've got to get these customers. You know, we've got to get new customers on Shopify versus Amazon.
And don't get me wrong, there's still lots of money to be made on Amazon. You just have to know what you're doing now. Like back when I started, it was so much easier. I would just throw up something and it would sell. Now I actually have to go in and monitor stuff and optimize and keep up with like the latest trends in order to remain profitable on Amazon. So, you know, those money grabbing days are over.
Yeah.
They've been over for a couple of years now, I would say.
Yeah.
So, but if you're willing to do it right, you know, you can make money.
Yeah. I don't think we're telling anybody to not sell on Amazon. It's just, I would not build an Amazon centric business in today's world at all.
Yeah.
Cause it's too easy to get knocked off by a company like Temu, honestly, or Shein, or, I mean, those aren't the only ones. There's all sorts of them popping up here and there. Most of them die out. But it's like you're constantly weathering those storms.
I mean, unless you already have a brand. Like if you already have a brand, selling on Amazon makes sense because people will just do a search for your brand. In fact, that's a way to tell whether you're doing well brand-wise, right? Mm-hmm. You go look at your Google searches and see if people are searching your brand, and then you check Amazon to see if people are searching your brand.
I mean, I prefer, the good example is I prefer to buy things, like I prefer to buy brand name on Amazon just because the process is so much easier, right? Like I had to buy a ski jacket and I wanted this specific jacket from Columbia, which they didn't sell on Amazon. They do have some products on Amazon, but they didn't have this. So it's like I had to go to the Columbia website. I had to create an account. I had to enter a credit. It's like a pain, right? On Amazon, it's like I'm on my phone and two clicks later and 3 hours later, I've got a dog crate on my front porch. You know, it's like it's just so easy.
So I actually don't do that anymore because I've gotten burned. So just relatively recently, I needed to buy a couple of new batteries for my Sony camera. Mm-hmm. And I got batteries and they just don't last at all. And I'm thinking they're knockoffs now.
Mm.
You know, I mean, they look exactly like the real battery, but they last like a third of the amount of time as the ones I got that came with the camera. So I'm a little like worried now, like when I'm getting electronics or batteries or that sort of thing.
Yeah,
so I get them now straight from B&H Photo now, actually.
So I can see that, but also a lot, like, what do you think about this though? Because for example, one of the slippers that I tried to replace my beloved Lance in was a pair of Ugg slippers. I don't know, whatever, however you say it. But Ugg has an Amazon storefront, right? So it's, okay. It's an Ugg, it's the official Ugg store, right? So you can't buy everything Ugg on Amazon, but they have probably 30 options or something like that. It was a decent amount. So I bought a pair of Uggs on Amazon, legitimate Uggs, through the Ugg store. But, you know, Amazon was basically doing the fulfilling, which I think is different than just grabbing, like, a pair of, like, Ugg-like slippers, you know?
Correct. I mean, these, I mean, it said official Sony battery.
No, right? You got to buy it from Sony.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, a lot of people do that, right? Because people do search for Bumblebee Linens on there, or they come to our website. Some people buy from Amazon and then get support from us, which is really annoying.
That is super annoying.
You know what I mean? Like, hey, I need to make a return. I'm like, you're going to have to return that to Amazon. You bought that at Amazon. So, yeah.
Yeah. And happens, like certain brands, I feel like are pretty much only, like, for example, I like the OtterBox phone cases. For iPhone. Well, I don't even know if OtterBox has a website. I'm sure they do, but I've never been to
it. Oh, they do. Like, they do. Yeah.
But like I've only bought OtterBox. I probably bought 5 of them. I've never purchased them outside of Amazon because they're a brand. I think someone told me about them. I Google searched them. Amazon was the first, search result and then became my OtterBox love after that.
You know, I think shopping on websites has become a lot easier.
Yes,
almost Amazon-like, right? Because like with Shop Pay, like they have your credit card stored, you can do a one-click checkout in a lot of cases. So well,
what I thought was interesting about the Columbia purchase was that I started shopping on Black Friday, got distracted, never completed my purchase, right? Well, then like, I don't know, maybe the day after Cyber Monday, I get an email from PayPal. And it says, complete your Columbia purchase with PayPal and get save $25.
Oh.
So it was basically if I purchased on Columbia but checked out with PayPal, which is pretty common. When I purchase with, so you can, you know, you have all these options to check out. You have the Shop Pay option. You've got put in your credit card. I think there's like Google Pay. I mean, there's all these different ways you can pay. But if I picked PayPal, then PayPal credited me $25. So like the amount that came out of my bank account was $25 less than the total purchase amount.
Yeah, it's because PayPal charges 3.5% to its merchants.
That's another episode.
That's another episode, which we probably already recorded because I went on a huge rant over that.
We haven't recorded that. We talked about it, but
we didn't record that.
Well,
so now I told you this. My effective credit card processing rate is between 1.7 and 1.8% now.
Yeah,
after switching, which is a savings of a lot of money every year across both businesses, actually.
Yeah.
So,
but I do agree with you. If it has become a lot easier to shop on direct stores. And I think if you are, if you do have a Shopify or BigCommerce site, integrate some of those easy payment plans or processors for customers. I think it will increase your conversion rate, because the worst thing I think is to be on your phone trying to check out, trying to enter your credit card number. Like, the clunkier it gets, the easier it is for people just to be like, I'm not doing this right now. I'm going to go do it on my computer. And then you never do it on your computer because you forget about it.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I mean, there's a lot of things these days that are making it easy. And who knows? Temu might unseat Amazon, right? If people are, if the prices on Temu are way better than Amazon for the same stuff.
Yeah.
Just not packaged well. Who knows? Right. And they don't have to pay any taxes, and it's so cheap, and it's free shipping, and you don't need it right away.
Yeah. Well, and that's where I think Amazon can always win, right? Is people have become accustomed to the, I want it this afternoon, tomorrow morning, you know, within 24 hours. So I think, you know, Amazon has that distinct advantage over most places, right? Because most places can't get it to you that quickly for $2.99 or free, you know? So, but I also think that cheap commodity, like the Forever 21, the H&M, the throwaway fashion. I think that's because you cannot, like, at scale, you will never win that. It will always come down to these big conglomerates that are just can completely outproduce a small business owner.
Actually, I've never really bought apparel online that I had to try on. So what's the process like? Do you just buy like five pieces, try them on, and return the rest?
Like from Amazon? I mean, I've never returned anything to Temu because I've only ordered one thing, but.
But I mean, in general, when you buy clothing online, is that the process?
I mean, yeah. Clothing has a very high return rate for online shopping.
Yeah.
In fact, I have an order from a store that I ordered some stuff, and like some of it fit, some of it didn't fit, but then some of it fit. But when I put it on, I was like, no. You know, so I'm returning like half of what I bought, which I'm typically not a returner of clothes. Like when I buy clothing, it's like I know my size and things like that. But when you're shopping at like a new store, you know, I think your return rate could be really high because you're not used to like how they manufacture their clothing. But that fast fashion, that throwaway stuff, just do not go into it. Absolutely yeah. Not. Stay away.
I think so, too. I get so many people who want to drop ship clothes when they join the class.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough because I'm looking at like the prices, you know, of these drop ship clothes, and the clothes look nice, but they're unbranded. No one's ever heard of these brands. It's just like really tough.
Yeah. And it's like, it shows you how powerful a brand is when like a company like Lululemon, right? So I don't own any Lululemon. I own a lot of Amazon dupes of Lululemon, which I think are great. I have no complaints about them. I have one child who absolutely loves Lululemon. That's all she put on her Christmas list. But like a pair of leggings is $100, right, for leggings. And on Black Friday, does Lululemon even hold a sale? No. Mm. Are they hurting? No. Right? So if you can create, and they're not like luxury, right? They're like that mid-grade, you know? I mean, because you could probably get Gucci leggings for $1,000. But, you know, if you can create a brand where like people will buy from you and they don't even, you're not even gonna give them a Black Friday discount, like that's where to be, right? Like where you have people that are so brand loyal that think your stuff is so amazing that they are gonna pay full price 365 days a year. That's nuts.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course, where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.